Wow, what a blessing, amen? That was tremendous. And the message is certainly tremendous, that what a wonderful thing it is to be redeemed and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know His forgiveness. And if you don't know that, then our prayer is that you'd come to know Christ as your personal Savior. All right, one thing I want to mention is next Sunday night, we're going to have a fellowship, a little reception afterward. The Martinez's will be leaving the next day, so they're leaving 8 days from today. So I know I see a sad Emily face over there, and hopefully you're just, I know you're soaking up each and every day and treasuring the time together with your family. We just love it when they're here as well, certainly. So we want to do that next Sunday, and then that'll give us more fellowship time afterwards. So I hope that you'll join us next week and have an opportunity to visit with the Martinez's the day before they head back to Argentina. All right, and we'll all be praying for them. Amen? All right. Okay, I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll take a look here at the beginning of this chapter. We read just a little bit ago, and we'll look at this passage again, too, in just a little bit. Romans chapter 13, that was part of our scripture reading about being awake. But it is high time to awake as Christians, because we have a tendency to kind of get lulled into a sleep, and we can get into a stupor at times. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here, of course, to the church at Thessalonica. He's certainly led of the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. I love the different things that we see in the different epistles. So many different needs are brought up, so many different issues are addressed, and it's no doubt it was through the leading of the Holy Spirit. God in His wisdom put it all there, and one of the things that no doubt was on the minds of the Thessalonian church and those Thessalonian believers was about the Lord's coming. And so we see and we read about that, and how many times do we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and we read about the Lord's coming for His church, and how exciting that is, amen? How many times have we been through that passage? So the Apostle Paul is going to address some things that no doubt were questions to him from this church about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that coming happens in two parts, two phases or two stages, two parts to it. The first part is that secret coming for His saints, for His Gentile bride, and that is a mystery. Of course, we see it there in the last part of the verse. I won't read those verses, but verse 16, I'll read that one. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then verse 17, of course, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, folks, that's coming soon. I mean, that's just coming soon. If you just do the math, I mean, we're about 1,990 years from the Lord being crucified on the cross. And the this time period that has been inserted here, the age of grace, the church age, the time of the Gentiles is supposed to be 2,000 years. So what does that mean? That the Lord could come back just within these next 10 years. I'm not dating it. None of us knows the date. But you know what? That should awaken something in us. It should get us excited about what we have before us. The Lord's going to come back. But that first part was a mystery. We just read right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And so what you have here is something that, that the Jew really didn't see. You know, we come over to chapter 5, and he speaks to them about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. That's, of course, when the Lord will come back for His people Israel. And that is after that seven-year tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation, He's going to come. And that's called the Day of the Lord. And the Jews read that over and over throughout the Old Testament scriptures. They were well aware of that. In fact, let's go ahead and we'll turn to Zechariah real quick, and then we'll come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read those verses. But let's go to Zechariah real quickly, And we'll give you a very clear for instance in Zechariah chapter 14 and verses 1 through 4, it says this: Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Now, this is a prophecy, obviously, of the last days, when the Lord's going to come back at the end of the tribulation and to save his people Israel. And then it says in verse 3, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. That's Revelation chapter 19 right there. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And then if you just look at verse 9, it says, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. The Lord is going to set up his rule and reign out of Jerusalem. We're going right into the millennial period of 1,000 years. But the Jews couldn't see what was going to take place on the first part of his coming, and that was that a Gentile bride would be taken, that they would be snatched away, and we call it the rapture. And they didn't have any, anything that referred in the Old Testament to the Gentiles. They just put it off. They did not have a love for the Gentiles. We know that. And so now we take a look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's take a look at these verses here. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to be able to visit together, to be able to fellowship with one another. We thank you, Lord, that we could sing praises unto you. We thank you for the special that we just heard. Lord, what a blessing it is to gather together, to assemble together. Lord, may we never take that for granted. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. We know that there are those who are working feverishly to take these liberties away. We look unto you, we trust you, and we pray that your will be done in all of this, but we pray that you'll give us opportunity to wake up in certain areas of our life. And do the things that we're called to do. Help us to realize that your coming is soon. And we pray, Lord, that we can make an impact. And we know that we can't do it, but it would be you working through us. And we pray, Lord, that for those that need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, may we be instrumental in taking the gospel to lost sinners, just as somebody brought the gospel to us. And so now, Lord, I pray that as we look here in your book, I pray that you'd help me. You know how just in the last hour in my office, Lord, just wrestling. Just, Lord, you know my wrestlings are, I just don't want to get in the way. And I pray that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you would be able to work and speak through me. I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that we would be drawn closer to you as believers. I pray for anybody here without Christ that you do a work in their heart and would address that and bring some people to the Lord Jesus Christ through this message today. So I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you could do your work in each and every one of our hearts and lives. And we thank you. We thank you again for your word. And Lord, may we just simply yield to you and allow you to do in our hearts that which you choose to do. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here that the Apostle Paul speaks to them about the day of the Lord and how it is coming. And these verses, as he speaks to them, especially verses 4 and 5, and I'll read those two verses. He says, "Now, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." So these verses are spoken to these believers that he's writing to, obviously, and to ourselves here today. They speak of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in darkness. We are no longer children of darkness if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that we are called children of light, as it says in verse 5, we are called children of the day. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ if we've come to know him as our personal Savior. So, folks, we're called the children of light. So now Paul speaks to these believers about living out their faith, about that which has happened in their lives and how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He is urging them and beseeching them to live out their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is true of them positionally, as verses 4 and 5 speak of, they are to let that come out of their lives in a day-to-day or on a day-to-day basis. Let that which is true inside of you, let that come out in your life on a regular basis. And so today, this morning, I want to take that baton from the Apostle Paul, and I want to pass it to you today. We're going to take a look at 3 points, and we'll look at verse 7 as 1 point, verses 6 and 8 as they sandwich verse 7, and they go together as the second point, and then we'll look at verses 9 and 10 as that third point. Now, the first thing that I want to bring out, this first point, is there are those who will sleep. There are those who will sleep. And so I'm going to jump over to verse 7, and verse 7 says, that for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. In fact, let me do this. I'm going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 together, but I'm going to go ahead and speak on verse 7. Therefore, let us not sleep. And he's speaking to these believers. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Then verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So there are those that will sleep, as verse 7 says. The Apostle Paul refers to those that are lost and what they do in the night, because it says that they are in darkness. So this is definitely referring to those who don't know Christ. They are asleep. They're asleep in the night, and they get drunk in the night. You know, that's just typical. That's what we would expect from somebody who's lost. That's not every lost person, obviously, but that's pretty typical of lost people. I just think, I don't know the numbers, but I'll watch sporting events, and you know how much I enjoy sporting events, and when I have an opportunity, I just fast forward through those commercials when I can, but sometimes, you know, I can't. I'm watching it live, and I'll just usually turn it down. But there are just countless beer commercials and heavy liquor commercials over and over. You know, we have a society that is just inebriated beyond measure. I mean, it's just people just have to have it. I've got to just say this from personal testimony that I saw that in my own family. And I look at my sister Laura, we saw that, man. When we were growing up as kids, there were just parties. My parents had parties, and there was just drinking all the time, right? I mean, you know, Mexicans, all right? But not just Mexicans. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody. But that's what we grew up in, and we just saw, man, everybody's just, you know, drinking. That was just like normal. And I mean, I just watched, you know, countless relatives, whether it's grandparents or aunts and uncles, just succumb to liquor. And so many of their lives were cut short, right? My own dad, I mean, my dad came to know Christ, but boy, he drank a lot. And yet he was faithful to do the things that he did, and he supplied and provided for his family and all of that. But, you know, I mean, that took his life early. He didn't get to know his grandchildren longer than he did. I wish he would have been, I wish he would have been able to have lived longer, but his liver was shot. And I saw that with family. And I just want to say, you know what? I talked to Christians. I talked to a number of Christians that they say, well, you know, I think it's okay to socially drink. Well, listen, I'm just going to kind of lay it down clearly. I've seen enough. All right? And I'm just going to say this. Yeah, all right, you might do that at home. Listen, I'm saying this is the time to just put it all away. It is. It's just, if you do that, just put it away, because, listen, you know who you're causing to stumble, first of all.
Right.
Yeah, but I just do a drink of beer here and there. Okay, well, listen, that's not going to send you to hell. I know that. But listen, all it takes is just sometimes just that one drink, and then it just takes you to places where you don't want to go. And so I just say this to you as Christians. We have not much time left, and it's just good for us to just put that away and just be able to, you know, to be able to maybe say it, not in a condescending way. We just say, listen, no, I don't even touch alcohol. I don't want to have anything to do with it, because I want to have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to honor him. And, you know, you might go away going, well, you know, I don't agree with him, but you know what? Listen, I am right. I'm just going to say that. It's just good for us to put that to the side and, you know, just don't have anything to do with it. Just say, hey, I'm a teetotaler for Christ, all right? I don't want to have anything to do with it. Listen, that's where the world's at. I mean, we just see it. I mean, we watched that little boat come in off of Lake Coeur d'Alene, and one Friday night, my wife and I were just tootling around over there down by the resort a couple years ago, and this little boat comes in, that little ferry that takes you the tour around the lakes, and man, it's like, wow, what's going on? All the rock music, and then, boy, we just sat there on a bench and watched all these people get off, and they're like, oh, this is a great time. That's wonderful. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's where I want to be. That's just like, that's just typical. It's just typical of what we see. And then getting back to just the, there's the drunkenness, because that's referred to there in verse 6, but also the sleepiness. There are those who will sleep. And listen, we as Christians can become guilty of that. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Listen, how often as Christians, as believers, do we find ourselves acting like the lost? We can find ourselves, maybe not drinking to that level, but we can become, you know, sleepy in our walk as Christians. God says this in Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Sometimes, folks, we can sleep our lives away, and I'm talking about spiritually, we can sleep our lives away with the best of them. We can become just groggy and sleepy towards spiritual things. It's just cobweb city. It's like when we just wake up in the morning, nothing is making sense, and sometimes we can be that way spiritually. And physically, you know, speaking, it's easy to just fall, it's easy to just give in to that. I think about how, man, I mean, as a kid, I like to sleep in. And then I think about our kids, not through the homeschool season. My wife woke those kids up, and they. But I'll tell you what, man, my kids during the summer, and I'm speaking more to the older ones, right? I'm going to let Hannah off the hook here. Those older ones, boy, I tell you, when they were just kids, I used to think, man, I wish there was competitive sleeping. Because my kids would have gone pro, all right? Some of my kids would have gone pro. They were just proficient at it. I was like, I can't believe they're still sleeping. Well, you know, we got to let them rest, you know. And you know, and if it's true that if children's, you know, that the growth of children takes place when they're sleeping, it's a wonder that my children aren't 14 feet tall, all right? It's amazing. But how often do we find ourselves as sleepy Christians? God is admonishing us to be spiritually alert in this life. We're to be wide awake. That's what this passage is saying here. Again, I want you to turn to Romans. We read a couple verses in Romans 13, but let's read all four verses at the end of that chapter. Romans chapter 13. And whereas a lot in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 speaks to position, this is speaking to our everyday walk, our practice, our our experience day to day in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is admonishing these believers here, these Roman believers. And he says here in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time, all right, it is the right time right now to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So this is not a time for us to be stuck in this category of being sleepy Christians. Boy, may we just awake out of this. We don't want to be a bunch of spiritual Rip Van Winkles. Boy, may we have our eyes open to things. That's what God is commanding us to do. So let's take a look at how God exhorts us as we continue to go on. So let's take a look at verses 6 and 8. And verses 6 and 8, we read it just a little bit ago, but let me read those verses together. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And then verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day, we that are believers that know Christ, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Folks, we have to consciously determine this. We have to have a plan that of how we're going to just be wide awake and yield ourselves to the Lord so that He can work through us and keep us from being sleepy. Amen? We've got to have a plan. It's important to have a good plan. Sometimes we concoct some pretty dumb plans. I mean, we really do. I mean, you know, if you're going to take a trip, it's probably not wise to work all day long and then take off at midnight. That's kind of a knucklehead plan. I mean, sometimes you have to do that. I understand that. But when you have a choice to do something, because, listen, it's no fun driving when you're sleepy. Oh, that is just like torture. When I'm driving along and my head's bobbing, and finally I'll just look at my wife and say, take over, or let's go off to a rest area or something, and I got to get some rest, because you end up being dangerous to other drivers on the road, and you're not alert, and it's just not the kind of condition you want to be in as you're heading down the road. And folks, it's important that we make a good plan. Now, spiritually speaking, this is how many of us have really kind of poorly mapped out our lives when we talk about this sleepiness that we allow in our spiritual lives. We haven't made a good plan. We spend the whole gas tank on daily living, and then the fumes that are left over that remain, we give to God. I've done that. There are times I just give the Lord the little leftovers at the end. I've spent all of my energy and all of my resources on other things, and I just can get so easily distracted, and I can just go off on that. And folks, I mean, we all have our distractions. And I mean, I have all kinds. I mean, it hit me just the other day. I don't remember if it was in San Antonio or here. I think it was just back here just in the last couple days. And I come up to a red light, and I stop behind a pickup truck, and it's no big deal, a pickup truck, but it's a Toyota Tacoma. All right. You're saying, what's the big deal about a Toyota Tacoma? Well, it may not be a problem for you, but I'm looking at Tacoma on the back of that tailgate, and you're seeing Tacoma, but I just see those first four letters, T-A-C-O, taco. And my thought is, oh, I need to have a taco. Maybe a carne asada taco or something. But there goes my mind. Anything I might have been hitting at a 9.5 on a scale of 10, spiritually speaking, but it just all went away. And all I'm thinking of, I'll even settle for a Jack taco. I mean, you know, Jack in the Box. Yeah. I mean, we went to Dairy Queen, and I just got a treat while we were in San Antonio, and she was a little hungry, so she got a taco at Dairy Queen, right? A taco at Dairy Queen? But I'll tell you what, it was even good in San Antonio. That's the land of tacos down there. Listen, we get sidetracked very easily, and we many times make poor plans. That's why it's good to just be in this book every day. Amen. Make it part of your plans to be in this book and to be on your knees before the Lord and to talk to Him and to seek His face. That's a good plan to start. That this is what will help keep us spiritually awake and our eyes wide open. But that's what this passage is saying here, that let us not sleep. Don't be lazy. Boy, it's so easy to get to be lazy. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Folks, we need to become spiritually awakened. And we need to awake to spiritual things, awake to God's hand moving, awake to the invisible. Because, folks, really, it's good for us sometimes to just get ourselves going. You know, we could look at some project and we can just go, oh, I'm not too excited about that. And sometimes we have to pump ourselves up. And you know what? I just encourage you and myself to sometimes just, you know, Lord, I want to be excited. I want that excitement to come from you, but I want to just kind of kickstart it and just get myself going and go, you know what? I want to be excited about the things of the Lord. We come to the Lord with that intent and with that motive. God will bless it. If we just get on our knees and say, Lord, you know what? I'm sluggish, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement, but I want to be excited, and God will get in on that. And may we just learn to trust Him with all of that. It says here that Ephesians chapter 5, this is a good passage to turn to as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. It says, wherefore he saith, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Again, this is written to believers. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And if we'll do that, it says that verse 16 will become realized in our life, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you want to make this next, who knows, 5, 7, 10, 12 years before the Lord comes back? And I believe He'll come back. I don't know. I'm not setting a date. But let's say He comes back within the next 10 years. How many of you want to make the most of these 10 years as His child? Hallelujah. Amen. We want to do what we want to honor Him in the whatever time that we have left. And then it says in verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see there in verse 14, it says to awake and arise. Christ will give us life. Verse 15 says that we're to walk carefully, circumspectly, with wisdom. That verse 16 says that we'll make up for lost time. God will be able to do that in our lives if we'll just turn it over to Him. And verse 17 speaks about understanding God's will. Well, how do we do this, folks? How do we do this? We avail ourselves to the things that are spiritual. We have to avail ourselves to the things that are spiritual. Again, I just referred to this Bible, getting into the Bible and reading it each day, but asking God to reveal to you and to myself the things that He wants to reveal, to open us up. As Hebrews chapter 4 says, that this word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know, God's plan is to take this, and certainly He brings sinners under conviction, and He did that in our life. But He uses His word for us to open us up and to reveal some things. You remember what David said in Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24, I'm just kind of spacing it. What are those words again? Let me just turn to it because it's not coming to my mind. That's what happens when you just get old. Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That was David's mindset. That was David's heart, was, Lord, would you search me? Would you try me? Would you open me up? And anything that's displeasing, reveal that and expose it so that it could be done away with, because I want to please you. That ought to be our heart, amen? That ought to be what we do on a regular basis. And let me say that's why it's important for us to avail ourselves to the things of God. That's why it's important when you can is to come to other services, to come to other church services. You know, tonight I'll be talking about prayer. And it may be that God wants to speak to you about prayer and about praying for others. We have that opportunity on Friday mornings when the men gather together at out here in the modular. And then we have the opportunity here in Sunday school at the beginning of our Sunday school class to bring a prayer request and to pray. And we have the opportunity before church even starts at 9:30 every Sunday to pray. We want to have opportunities to pray. So tonight, when there's an opportunity to come back and you really don't have a good excuse, you should be here. Because it may be that God wants to show you something and you'll walk away going, I'm glad I came. God showed me some things that I've never been shown before. And he'll do that for us. And coming on a Wednesday night, now I know it doesn't always work with work schedules, and I certainly understand that. But it's just important to put yourself in a position where God can work on you and I. So let me just encourage you to take that into, evaluate on that and think about it and pray and talk to the Lord. It should be an easy decision. We're supposed to be praying always and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we yield ourselves to God, God will begin to awaken us more and more to begin to see things clearly as we ought to. And then why should we do this? Well, let's take a look at verses 9 and 10 in this last point. It tells us very, very clearly why. Verses 9 and 10 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Why should we do this? Well, for God has greatly delivered us, hasn't he? He's greatly delivered us. He's delivered us from our sins, and we have a great deliverance coming when he's coming. First of all, verse 9 says that he has not appointed us to wrath. And to me, that's very clearly a two-sided coin here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5 says this, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." The Lord knew who trust Christ as their Savior. Remember, the Lord is able to, he can go back over here into eternity future and he can see how it all played out. He didn't choose anyone to go to hell. He didn't choose some people to go to heaven. He gave everybody an opportunity. Everybody has a free will. And so he comes over here and he sees who made those decisions. And the Bible says that he foreordained us before the foundation of the world. He came back over here before it was ever created and said, "I know who's put their trust in me already." And so he foreordained them to be adopted into the family of God. What a wonderful thing that is. For you and I that know Jesus Christ, listen, there's no credit to us. We just praise God that we're part of that elect. According to his foreknowledge, as 1 Peter chapter 1 speaks, his foreknowledge can see all of that. And what a wonderful thing it is to be a part of that, that we are ordained. So we see that. We're not appointed, as verse 9 says, he has not appointed us unto wrath. But also, we're not appointed to the temporal wrath. I believe, without a doubt, we're not appointed to the temporal wrath of that great tribulation. Those 7 years. The Lord's going to take his church out. Instead, we're raptured out of it. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's what he just covered with them, that the Lord's going to come in the clouds. He's not going to touch down yet, but he's going to come secretly and take his church. And then that tribulation, those 7 years are going to take place, and God is going to work back. His focus is going to be back on his people, Israel. By the way, they've always been God's chosen people, and we never replaced them. But we have this opportunity, which 2,000 years that is almost about up. All of those little grains of sand have almost come through the hourglass. And folks, this is a time for us to rise up and to serve the Lord. Yeah. And to go tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't appoint us to wrath. The Bible speaks in Jeremiah chapter 30 that is Jacob's trouble. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time when God is going to work on his people, the Jews. Daniel speaks about that 70th week. All that time coming up to that, well, the stopwatch just got stopped, and God allowed this 2,000-year period for the Gentiles, the church age. And that's where we came in. We got saved. There's not too many Jews here, but we got saved. And certainly there are Jews that have gotten saved, but as a whole, they've rejected Christ. But you know, when it gets to the end of the tribulation, they're ready to receive Christ when he comes to save them. And he's going to usher them into the kingdom. But here we are, folks. We're just about out of time, and we've had this opportunity. And so the Lord is going to, we're not appointed to the wrath of the tribulation. Then he goes on to finish verse 9, as he says here, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us salvation. What a wonderful thing that we have, that we know Christ as our personal Savior. He has saved us from everlasting punishment in hell and eventually in the lake of fire, and then salvation and deliverance from this that time of Jacob's trouble. Now, verse 10 speaks to us here, as verse 10 says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. It speaks to us, again, of how our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he delivered us. He died for us. How great is that, that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to come to this earth, a sinful earth, a wicked and corrupt earth that he had created but had fallen. And yet he wanted to come right in the midst of all of that, live a sinless life, and go eventually to the cross on purpose on your behalf and on my behalf. And then he was buried and rose again. What a great, great thing that we have, folks, that we have a Savior who loves us and died for us. And verse 10 brings that out so eloquently. Now in verse 11, it says this, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So we're encouraged and exhorted to comfort and edify one another with that. It's good for us to look each other in the eye and say, wow, isn't this going to be wonderful? We're going to be in heaven one day, and we're going to forever be with the Lord, and we're going to be in that 1,000-year period. And then beyond that, we're going to rule and reign throughout all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But just imagine this next 1,000 years as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and he's ruling and reigning out of Jerusalem. It just bogs my mind at what's all going to take place. How's this all going to play out? Well, I don't have the answer to so much of that, but I know in whose hands it belongs. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. It's in God's hands, and he will just take care of it. And we're in his hands as well. Wonderful thing that we can know that. Let me ask this question. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? You know how much he wants to save you? He wants to save you because he died on a cross for you so that you could be saved and have eternal life. I'm grateful for how he worked in my life and brought me under conviction many years ago, and how I turned to Christ in these last so many years. It has just been wonderful to know Christ as my Savior. I certainly have not always been what I'm supposed to be. Far from it. And I have a long way to go. But he is so patient and long-suffering with me. Have you found him to be that way with you? Amen. Yeah, he puts up with a lot of mischief that we bring onto our plates before him. He deals with us, and he's patient. But he's such a good God. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to save you and give you eternal life. And in just a little bit, we'll have an invitation, and we certainly open that up to you, that you could step out in the aisle, come forward, and somebody here can show you from the Bible how you can be saved and how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christian, how about yourself? And I speak to myself as well. Are we going to be determined in these last days to be wide awake for the Lord Jesus Christ? That we're to be wide awake. We're not children of darkness. We are children of the day. And we're not to be drunken and caught up in all of that. But we're to be sober. And as that passage tells us, that ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. They that sleep in the night, and there are those that are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. I pray that every one of us will make that determination that we want to be wide awake for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can use us in this life. Would you bow your heads at this time? And I'm going to ask the musicians to come up, play the piano, and Brother Jones is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation in just a moment. With our heads bowed, God used the Apostle Paul to speak to these believers from Thessalonica. And he encouraged them and exhorted them to be wide awake, to be yielded to the Lord so that the Lord can work in their lives. And this church was a faithful church. They were witnesses for Christ. They did obey this. And God used them to reach people all around them for Christ. Do we have that same mindset as believers today? Have we been praying, Lord, use me? We see that the clock is ticking. We see what's happening all around the world with this pandemic. We see what's happening in our country. This is an opportunity for us to just keep our eyes on the Lord and to get close to his word, to yield to him every day and say, Lord, would you please use me? Would you open my eyes to spiritual things? Help me not to get lulled into a sleepiness, because we can all go there, folks. If God's spoken to your heart as a believer, let me ask this question. How many of you would say, Pastor Garcia, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I'm a child of the day. I got saved back at such and such a time when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and just give a testimony to God? God bless you. There are many of you that have done that. Let me ask you this question as well. How many of you would say, God has spoken to my heart about the fact that, yeah, he is coming soon. And just like these believers were exhorted to be wide awake and to live for Christ, God's spoken to my heart about being wide awake for him. If God's spoken to your heart, would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to my heart today? Yes, that's numbers of you, many of you. And that is my desire as well, that we would just be wide awake for Christ all the way through the rest of our life or until he comes back. Now, is there somebody here today you'd say, Pastor Garcia, I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I have eternal life. I don't know for sure that my sins have been forgiven. Maybe I believe in Christ or have believed about him, but I've never come to know him as my personal Savior. Would you please pray for me? Is there somebody like that? You'd say, I don't know for sure if I died, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? We'd love to pray for you. I'm not here to single you out or embarrass you, but we just simply want to pray for you. With that, let's pray. Father, we come to you today and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this exhortation that was given to this church, but it certainly speaks to us as well, and it's certainly for us as well. Lord, we can certainly get caught up in distractions. We can get caught up in being sleepy toward the things of God. Would you help us? Help us to be wide awake. Help us to be wide awake to the things of God. Lord, that we would be witnesses for Christ, that we would look for opportunities to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd use us so that Christ could be revealed in us. Lord, we pray that you'd work on each and every one of our hearts. And Lord, if there's somebody here today without Christ, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to you as Savior. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.